What's going on, everybody? Welcome to yet another episode of Your Intention Matters, the podcast. My name is Still Palmadot. Thanks very much for joining us on this episode. I have Mark Neesmith. He is VP of Sales, coming to us from Digital Monitoring Products in beautiful Southern California. Mark, how are things, man?
Great, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. How'd I do on the last name?
That was perfect.
Did I crush it? All right. Amazing. Good. You never know, right? So especially with my last name, it's Madit, Madot, Mado. It's like, who knows, right? So
that's right.
Yeah. Anyways, listen, nice to meet you. Say hi to everybody. Provide a quick intro and let's dive into your journey, man.
All right. Terrific. Thanks, Paul. My name again is Mark Neesmith, Vice President of Sales at Digital Monitoring Products, also more known as DMP. I've been in the security industry in one form or fashion for over 30 years and professional sales since I was about 18 years old.
Nice. Married, dad, both, neither?
Yeah, happily married. I'm a father of a 15-year-old that loves volleyball. And then we live in Carlsbad, California. I'm an avid surfer and sailor and, nice. You know, just enjoy being here where those things are prevalent.
Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate you freeing up the time. And, you know, Mark, you know, the title of the podcast is Your Intention Matters. And as we were talking about, it's really built on the foundation from my chair that nothing's really given to any of us. And it all starts with what's up top. And when you're locked in on something, you're all in. And when you're kind of like, you know, 50-50 on it, that's the result you get as well. And so I'm looking forward to you sharing what I think is going to be a pretty cool journey. You ready to go?
Sure, let's do it.
All right, man, let's go back in time here. Let's go back to the late 70s. Man, I was in diapers for 78, all right? 70 and us, I'm 47, 78 years, 1978, you graduate high school. And so take us back to that timeline. What did you think you'd be doing? Did you go to college? Did you not go to college? Did you get a job? What was it like as you're kind of turning into the Carter years, into the, you know, the Reagan years, so to speak?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I was a little bit of a wanderer, as far as that goes. I had played trumpet all through, middle school and high school. And, so I had no real destination for my career path. So I went to a community college as a music major, and I completed that in 90 days. In other words, after 90 days, I was complete. I realized
that's got to be one of the best answers I've ever heard. I did my MBA in 90 days. I was finished. That was it.
Yeah, that's right. No more for me. That's right. I'm with you to the end. This, my friend, is the end. So I recognize that trumpet players are in fact a dime a dozen, and I wasn't that good, just saw that was not a path for me. So I was attending a gym at the time. I lived in Tampa, Florida, and one of the younger members of the gym, I was 18, he was about 20 years old, and he came in looking really sharp, wearing a suit and tie. And I'm like, Peter, what gives? Why are you so dressed up? He goes, hey, I'm selling life insurance now. I just got my license. I said, oh, you're kidding me. I thought you had to be older for that. He said, no. You can be licensed at age 18. That literally was all it took. So I convinced the office manager of Independent Life Insurance Company in Tampa, Florida, that he should give me a try at age 18. He said, we've never hired anyone under the age of 21. I had shown him that you can be licensed at 18. Eventually, after following up to the point of, he said, I'm either getting a restraining order on you or I'm going to hire you. And I've gotten permission to do the latter. I joined the company at age 18, selling what is known as debit collect life insurance. This is at that time, it's not sold today, but you would collect premiums from some of the poorest people in Central California weekly. So I would drive to their small home or trailer and collect $2.50 a week, because oftentimes they were unable to save $10 for the whole month. And this was for insurance for about $5,000 for a burial policy. And that was a unique time in my life, and very formidable, because my customers then were of course financially challenged, but I never lost respect or affection for them as a customer. They were my customers, and I always treated them with the utmost respect. It caused me some learning that has carried through throughout my life. But Paul, I want to share with you a moment in time where I was sitting in my car at the end of a day. It was super hot, and I'm just sitting there trying to get my books straight before I headed out back home. And clear as a bell, there was a vision that I would be traveling around the world for my profession, that would hold meetings where people were very interested in what I had to say, in elegant conference rooms, and I would be considered a success by others. And I dare say, more importantly, I would be considered a success of myself. When I recognized how far away that dream was, I just started bawling. I was crying, sitting in my car, thinking, it's impossible. I'm a high school graduate. I'm selling this lower end marketplace. What in the world? And I had never even been on an airplane at that time. I was trying to conjure up, how in the world could that vision ever possibly happen? Fast forward 20 years later, I'm working for a manufacturer of security products. Through a series of circumstances, I was invited to join the international team. And one of my first assignments was to go to Sydney, Australia, which I've been to 11 times now on work. And I was to give a presentation to ADT in Australia about our product. I was ushered into a beautiful conference room in a high-rise building in downtown Sydney. And I'm standing there looking out of the window, view of the Opera House and the Bay Bridge and the beautiful, legendary Sydney Harbor. And it dawned on me.
That was it.
My dream had come true. It was a whole series of circumstances that led me there. But at that time, it was quite an amazing experience. The meeting was successful, and story to be continued. I've now traveled to 40 countries on behalf of my work, and doing amazing things that I never visualized could possibly be the case.
During this trip, which company were you representing?
I was with a company called DSC, Digital Security Controls, and they were home officed in Toronto, Canada.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so you're with them. Was this a new venture for you with this company, or had you been with them for a while?
I'd been with them for about 10 years at that time.
And how long was your tenure with them overall?
20 years.
So you stayed another 10 years after this vision in Australia. So 20 years with the company. And so this is fascinating to me, because you start off with some indirection, as so many of us have at a very young age, because it's funny for me as a dad now. And I think, how am I supposed to tell my kids are only 7 and 5, but how am I supposed to tell my daughter in 10 years at 17, you should know what you want to do for the rest of your life? Isn't it absurd to me? It's like crazy. So here at a young age, you figure it out, you get into insurance. It sounds like you took to it to last that long, and you kind of figured it out. You had a journey, I'm sure, along the way.
Yeah. I hated insurance sales. I that only lasted a few years. There was lots of other jobs in between that.
So what was the name of the company that you're with while you're in Australia? DS what?
I was with DSC.
So DSC, you're 10 years in, you stay another 10 years. So 20 year tenure. You know, there's a lot of people, Mark, listening to this right now, who can't even fathom a 20 year run at the same company. it's just not in the DNA today anyway. And I would say both on both sides, there doesn't seem to be the sense of loyalty from employee to employer, then also from employer to employee. There seems to be, you know, 5 years, 3 years, 8 years, but to hit 20 years, I mean, what was behind your decision to move on from them after a 20 year, sounds like an amazing run.
Yeah, and it was, you know, through that 20 years, I must have done 8 different jobs. You know, I started as a ground force sales agent for them, was moved into management. I was moved into, I was a sales trainer for them. So, you know, I did a series of videos and I would do the trade show, you know, the guy with the microphone at the trade shows and stuff like that. Later to become the national sales manager for, and then the North American sales manager. And then the, you know, and just one progression after another through that process. Halfway through, around the time I was in Australia, shortly thereafter, the company was privately owned. And then it was sold to Tyco Safety Products. And this is the company that also possessed ADT Security and companies like that. So
gotcha.
Those things were unconnected, but later became very connected, obviously. And I stuck it out for another 10 years through a variety of a revolving door of leadership and things like that. And I was traveling the world. I had built a team from 2 people to about 16 salespeople around the world. So I was in charge of what's called ROW. So there's 3 sales divisions. There's North American, which is Canada and United States, EMEA, which is Europe, Middle East, and Northern Africa. Mm-hmm. And then to make it simple, there's rest of the world.
Got it.
I did ROW, rest of the world. And so I had sales leadership in Asia, in Latin America. I personally looked after South Africa so I was traveling all over the place. About this time, I'm into a wonderful marriage and we have a young son. And that travel was just weighing on those relationships. And so an opportunity to join Digital Monitoring Products came around and I was excited about that. It's a type of company that has infinite credibility in our industry. And so there was the vice president of sales job available and I interviewed for it, accepted it. And we wound up moving to Springfield, Missouri to get into that job.
Well, that must've been an interesting time for you because, you know, when you're with the company for that length of time and appreciating you had multiple roles over that, you know, couple of decades, which is not uncommon. You just see people progress through the years, of course. But that's all you knew for a long time. I mean, it must have been somewhat challenging and scary mentally around, so you got it. You want to make a change for your own balance in your own life. You came to that realization. So you want to do this. But then also, you keep me honest here, but I can't help but think there were some nerves there around, okay, well, what's this next company going to be like? It's a new company. It's a new climate, new culture, you know, new dynamic, and then you're still responsible for your day-to-day and your family. And so was that an easy choice for you? Was it a hard one? What was it like?
No, it was a gut wrench, no question about it. But, you know, my wife accuses me of being an adrenaline junkie.
Uh-huh.
You know, I love to surf and rock climb and other exciting sports. So in that vein, I felt confident that I had something unique to offer. A DMP that they needed. And I felt really good. I'd built up this sales team in the ROW factor that was at that time when I took on that job was barely a dark mark on the spreadsheet. When I left, we had 16 people and we were a significant part of the revenue generation of the company. So I kind of knew how to do it. And in part that learning came oftentimes at the blunt end of a 2x4, I must say, because I didn't have the college experience or any background knowledge. I was having to learn on the fly. But I was also willing to stick my hand up and take opportune risks. And this came around. When I joined DMP, there was some learning curve for me and I think the company as well at large. Yeah. But once we figured each other out, it's been a terrific relationship.
Now, Mark, you said that you moved to Missouri for this first initial opportunity within the company. Where were you coming from?
We were living in Boca Raton, Florida.
Okay.
I lived the majority of my life in Southern California, the home office of Tyco Safety Products, and where my wife was working is in Boca Raton. So we moved there. And
got it. So you're in Tampa as a young boy, 18, you're in Tampa. I heard you say you were in California for a little bit as well. Then you find your way back in Boca. Then how do you go from Boca to Missouri? Like, no knock on Missouri, but it's just a totally different lifestyle.
It was, the opportunity was so compelling that we thought we'd take a chance. And again, you know, that's a credit to my wonderful spouse, which I've far outshot my ability there. She's a brilliant woman, has an MBA. She speaks 5 languages and, I've learned a lot from her. But she was willing to also take that chance. So we took the chance. We moved on behalf of the company and lived there for about 6 years. There was a little interruption where I left to participate as a equity partner in a business. That did not work out. And so I was welcomed back to DMP. And in that move, we determined we really wanted to live in Southern California. And so that was a bit of an arrangement that I made with my boss, the owner of the company. And he said, listen, I agree. I think we can make this work. So I do go back and forth, but we're now in Carlsbad.
So this venture that you took for the one that for whatever reason didn't work out, why do you think DMP took you back? Because there's no shortage of talent in the U.S., right? So like, why do you think they take you back?
Listen, it's a proven product. Well, when I came on board, I did some very basic things for the sales organization. I came with a plan. I didn't show up and say, now, what do you want me to do? I had a 90-day integration plan that I followed strictly. That was part of my interview. I said that you will not have to tell me a thing.
Right.
Here's the plan. This is how I'll integrate with the company. I will become effective in 90 days instead of the usual 6 or 9 months. And that did work. And we were making some big dynamic changes in the company. Some things were yet once again a gut wrench. Paul, I tell you, we had the occasion to fire 50% of our customer base, and we grew 40% that year.
Come on, those numbers don't add up.
They don't. But the casual user was preventing us from making real traction with a passionate type of company that we wanted to get really involved with. And as we started to cut away the noise, then those that we were most interested in doing business with became more drawn to us and were giving us more and more of their business. So we narrowed our scope instead of broadening our scope. We saw that this was the good decision. Yes, there were millions of dollars at risk, but that quickly proved itself to be the right move. And still to this day, we've gone from conceptually a product that was widely available to a product that is considered by our customers one that they aspire to obtain dealership status with.
Was it your second return to DMP? Was it great right off the bat? Was it humbling to go back? Was it harder than you thought? What was your first 6 months return like?
Well, that's very, very insightful, Paul, because it was humbling. I'm the prodigal son returning. I did not come back as full capacity as vice president of sales. I was just offered a job to come back looking after the international markets for DMP. I had that experience while I worked under a vice president of sales. So I was no longer part of the executive management group. I was no longer part of those meetings that you crave to be in. However, I will fall right back a full circle back to that experience, having customers that were some of the poorest people in the country, and understanding and respecting them and the humility that's required to do that. So I came back with those levels of humility, and many people welcomed me back, thinking I was coming back to my full capacity as vice president of sales. That did not transpire. So I'm going to say the practical way I approach the sales leadership function is stay focused, get tight with your objectives, your tactical plan. Anybody can come up with a strategy, but the detail is in the tactics. If you don't have a good tactical plan that brings it down to the what do I need to do today, and that broad scope of a year or 3 to 5 years strategy just melts away and you go, well, I guess that didn't work. And so the interim leadership that was taking my role as I left, it was the first time in the period of time that I joined the company that the company started to fall. It was in decline in the sales category and no genuine hope of recovery. And I was offered back as vice president of sales. Mid-year, we had a successful, positive growth year that year. Simple, basic things, because as I said, I didn't get those complex learnings from getting a master's in business. Mine has to be simple. Those simple things were stay focused, narrow that focus down to very specific things that are meaningful to the strategy that was planned out by the executive team, and say, here are the tactics, guys. This is what we have to do. So you have to do this today.
Yeah.
If you haven't done that today, you have to do this tomorrow. If you've done more than this today, you have to do a little less tomorrow. Very simple.
You know, Mark, I want to ask you a question about the last year of your life. Obviously, March to March, 2020 to 2021, both personally and professionally, it's been just, choppy 12 months on a lot of different levels. Your foundation for what you've learned in business and how to operate and manage and run things, and how has that supported you, you know, in the last year? Because I imagine, and I don't know this for a fact, but I imagine that, you know, DMP was not immune to the effects of COVID and the lockdowns and coronavirus. And so how have you managed the last 12 months of your life?
So Paul, that guides me to a little bit of a story. I won't go into many details. The result of that is I was given a gift by a senior leader at Tyco that shared with me to never come into a meeting with the excuses of why it's not happening, that my job, in fact, was, regardless of circumstance, to own and represent the numbers in a positive way. That created an environment of the excuse-free zone. This is
I love that.
Now what my team lives under, that you're never permitted to come and tell me why it didn't work. Failure is okay. We're happy with failure because we learn from those failures.
Yeah.
But failure without a plan on how we're going to dig our way out of that failure, that's not
cool.
It's not acceptable. Yeah. So we live in this excuse-free zone. So yes, did we get impacted? Absolutely. It was like somebody flicked the light switch off of our sales. Our revenue took a huge dive very, very abruptly. And it was just through a conversation with the owner of our company that a light switch clicked on that, okay, what we know in the lanes that we usually flow through and the customers that we're usually just talking to are locked down. They're paralyzed as we are.
Right.
But there's another element of the marketplace that was not as affected, and that was the third tier markets, the smallest cities in the country that still have our customer base that we actually had not spent much time with over the last few years because we were so enamored with Chicago, Dallas, New York, San Francisco, LA. We didn't care about those third level markets. And we started to. And in that caring about those third level markets, we started regaining traction. So the entirety of our downfall of revenue during the coronavirus was 6 weeks, not the last year. And we completed 2020 as far exceeding our original goal that was set in 2019, blew it out.
Congratulations. That's amazing. Thank you. The no excuse zone.
The no excuse zone.
This is being recorded, but I'm going on record here. I might borrow that.
Please do. Please do. So I borrowed a little slogan from a friend, Tom Riley. He's written a couple of sales books. He says, there's no traffic jam on the extra mile.
That's a great line as well, man. That is so true, right? If you take the kind of the boom boom out of it, that's actually a real, like, it's so true, right?
Yeah.
Mark, man, it's been great talking to you. What a great journey. I mean, so you start in Florida, young kid, you know, kind of figuring out where you want to go. You find insurance of all things just by going to the gym, and then you kind of give that a run and you realize, okay, that's not really what you want to do. You then find security in the interim. You get married, you married up like I did. It sounds like my wife has her master's, right? And so I'm a guy who dropped out of college and my wife's got her master's. And so you find love, you get married, you find a great 20 year run at, I know it wasn't Tyco the whole time, but it was for a little bit. Yeah,
it was. Yeah. Right? So yeah. Half privately owned, family owned business. And then the other half was Tyco.
Yeah. And then that dream that you had 20 years before, or 10 years before, you find it in Australia as you're looking out over that, to your point, the, you know, just the beautiful, you know, harbor inside of Sydney. And then you realize, okay, I want to do something different. You end up moving into digital monitoring products. You have a bit of a speed bump in there along the way with a opportunity to become a partner at a company. You go back into digital monitoring products, which I imagine was not the easiest of choices to make, because you leave, you want to, you know, set the world on fire and it doesn't work out. Now you got to go back and you're still responsible for your family. And but you had the courage to do it. And then here you are, you know, creating a great thing here as we're all trying to figure out even 2021. And so congrats on everything you've been able to create up until this point. It's been fascinating.
Thank you, Paul. It's been a treat getting to meet you and know you. And hopefully if there's one little pearl of wisdom that has been shared, I'll be the happiest guy on town.
The excuse-free zone. There it is, everybody. Well, Mark, listen, thanks so much for being here. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, everybody, let's wrap up another episode right now. Remember, your intention matters. Why? Because as I say, that's the result you'll tend to get. We're out of here. We'll do it again next week. Stay safe, and let's go Raptors.